Okay, we're back, everybody. Thank you for being so patient. I'm seeking a motion to reconvene.
So moved.
By Mark Preda, and a second.
Second.
By Maria Grant. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, we are now back in session at 8:20 p.m. Okay, it's the first time I've gone through that process as board president, appointing a member to a vacant seat. And luckily, we had more than one candidate interested in the seat at this time. At times within the past 2 years, we've had as many as 10 candidates apply for an open board seat. What I wanted to say before we vote on the appointment of the candidate is thank you both very much, Mrs. Brennan and Mrs. Rodarama, for volunteering to fill the seat. And we think you would both be very good board members, and we can only pick one candidate. And we had a difficult discussion in the executive session, which is why it took as long as it did. But I want to encourage the person who does not get appointed tonight, don't be disheartened by that. There are several members of the Board of Education here who were also not appointed the first time they applied and went on to become board members. I know our former board president was not appointed and then went on to serve as 7 years on the Board of Education. Okay, having said that, I am seeking a motion to nominate, to make an appointment to the Board of Education.
I'd like to nominate Megan Verderamo.
I have a nomination of Megan Verderamo by Rachel McLaughlin. I'm seeking a second.
Second.
A second by Darren McTiernan. Okay, so we have a nomination and a second for Megan Verderamo. Ms. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote on this candidate?
Mrs. Kresge?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Before I cast my vote, I just want to state my few comments and some concerns. At the last meeting, I made some overtures about some concerns I had regarding Mrs. Verderamo and her closeness and the relationship that may come about from her sitting on the board. And while Mrs. Verderamo certainly is not prohibited from serving because her spouse is a teacher in our district, personally, I do not think it's in the best interest of this board for us to fill a vacancy with an individual who, while qualified, has a spouse who is an active teacher in our district. Mrs. Verderamo will be limited in her ability to give input and render key decisions on matters of negotiations, as well as personnel issues that may involve her spouse or his immediate supervisor. And in my opinion, the nepotism that would occur, it's just not good business. I cast a no vote.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
No.
With a 6-2 vote, the motion carries.
Okay, at this time, Mrs. Verderamo, we want to welcome you to the Clinton Township Board of Education. You've been appointed by a majority vote. Mrs. Brennan, thank you for volunteering, and please remain interested and continue to come to the board meetings. We'd like to see you again in the future. So, Mrs. Verderamo, if you can, approach and take your seat.
I need to swear you in as well.
Do solemnly swear
that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
That I possess the qualifications prescribed by the law
for the office of the Board of Education, and that I will faithfully.
By the law for the office of member of the Board of Education, and that I will faithfully,
impartially, and justly. justly perform all the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability.
Impartially and justly perform all the duties of that office. According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Mrs. Verderamo, you're now a full-blown board member. Anything on the agenda, you can vote on. But we'd just like to point out to a new board member, if there's something on the agenda that you're not familiar with, or if you weren't present for, like minutes or something of that nature, it's also acceptable to abstain until you get up to speed.
Okay.
And I will catch up with you after the meeting or tomorrow just to exchange some information about being a new board member.
Okay.
So welcome.
Thank you.
Moving on to the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
I, too, would be happy to spend some time helping you acclimate to the role of a board member and give you some information about any help you can use.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The first thing I'd like to report on is the enrollment. The enrollment numbers are 1548. You will notice a decrease in the numbers. We did have a number of kindergarten students pull out to enroll in, I believe, full-day programs and some other changes as well. There's nothing to report in terms of suspensions. HIB reports. We did have one investigation at Round Valley School determined not to be HIB. I would also like to do a little information about transportation, although I'm sure everyone is sick of my emails coming out right now. As most of you are aware, transportation has experienced some challenges this year. We have had some problems with our routes. This type of problem usually takes many months to work out, and we are really condensing the time frame to a few weeks. That's not easy, but frankly, we have some of the best in the business doing this, and although we are experiencing a few glitches because of the time crunch, it will get done. It will be fixed. I want to thank everyone for their patience. We are doing and will do whatever it takes to make it happen. One of our master routers, Mr. Jerry Ford, Mr. Ford, you just waved. He's here tonight. He met with the Finance and Facilities Committee to update them on routing changes and the progress we've been making there, and the problems that we've run into. I really want to thank him publicly and our business administrator for all the time they have given to make this work better for our kids. It's had a number of big challenges. And they've been working hard to meet them all and putting in a lot of very, very long hours. And I appreciate the work, and I appreciate that the update they gave to the Finance and Facilities Committee this evening. And Mr. Ford is here so that if there's any immediate questions in the first section on public comments, we could address them to Mr. Ford and move that process along so that he can go back to routing this evening, as I know he's anxious to do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Clark. I'm seeking a motion to accept SU003 through SU004.
So moved.
By Rachel McLaughlin, and a second, please.
Second.
By Dan McKeown. We have a motion and a second. Can we please have a roll call vote?
Do we have discussion?
Yes, I'm sorry. Certainly.
Thanks. I have a question on the enrollment, Dr. Clark. You made a point that it went down. 74 students. That's quite a bit from June 1st to September 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat alarming, quite frankly. We're down to 1548. I think we talked about 1500 being the magic number to commence discussions about school closing. We're getting awfully close. Is there any game plan to lift up the...
I think the first thing that we have to do is really look into a demographic study, because what the county will require of us is information that they'll want to know 5 years out what the number looks like. So what they want to know is this an aberration? Is it a trend? Is it a major trend? Or is something going to change? You know, there's been some stories that after the hurricane there was a major increase. There'll be a major increase in births. It may not be that this is an ongoing trend, or it could be just, a bubble. So I think we have to do a demographic study and look at that before we make any decisions, and the county would require that of us.
Yeah. My point was just we're getting close.
Yes.
And 74 was quite a jump downward.
Yes.
So I was just saying that we're getting close to 1,500. That's all I'm not saying.
I think it's time to really look at a demographic study for the district.
And if I may, I would echo Mark's concerns. When I looked at the cohorts coming through the school, the average class size for the first three grades is 140, 187 for the next three, the top two at 232, so it's going to drop like, absent a housing development, which isn't on the books, it's going to drop like a rock. Over the next few years, there's no question.
And it could do less or more depending upon what the impacts are also at Lebanon Borough, who gives into the middle school.
Sure.
So that demographic study would be important.
It would seem like it's time to really, get going on this.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that come out of the Facilities and Finance Committee, that analysis and study?
Yes.
Thank you.
We had discussions about demographics when we were interviewing architects. We had five architects in. We interviewed them. We asked them about demographics and their ability to do studies, and my recollection, Kevin Molloy, correct me if I'm wrong, is generally the architects don't do the demographic studies themselves, but they work with a demographer.
That's right. That's right. There are separate organizations that we can work with our architect of record that can help us in guiding us towards the right demographer. Yes.
Dr. Clark, typically is that a demographer from the state we work with, or is it a private?
There's two companies that I'm very aware of. That I've had studies done with in the past. One is, I think, Whitehall and Associates, another was Sarah Weissman, who's very active. I think she works with the Morris County Library, and she does a lot of research and demographics there. So those are two groups that I know do it. I'm sure there are some others. But I'll get some information for the next facilities meeting. I think it's time to begin that process.
I'd ask a clarifying question to that, too. The demographics at 1500, the study needs to demonstrate that there is a continued and sustained drop for a period of, I believe, it's 5 years?
Yes.
Yep. And do we have to be in that drop before we entertain this, or can we forecast that drop and then entertain the future closing of a building? Do we have to be below 1,500 for 5 years, or can we forecast we'll be below 1,500 years 2016 through 2020?
I'm not sure of the exact wording. I'll have to look at that.
Okay.
Isn't 1,500 a benchmark that we've established rather than the state's established?
I don't believe the state's established it.
Yeah, so that would
changes,
be our...
1501 changes where you fit in groups of schools. So mm-hmm. I think that's why we had that 1,500 number in our mind, but I don't know that it's a specific number that the state has anywhere.
I also think it's important to point out that just because it's a number doesn't necessarily mean that we close a building.
Right.
There are a lot of costs associated with closing of a building, and there are a lot of requirements by the state for quote-unquote mothballing a building. So I think that once you have the demographer study, you need to have an ad hoc committee to look at what are the potential areas that we may address, and it might be something as simple as redistricting and or using the facility for other uses, like maybe even leasing it to a corporation.
That's correct. It doesn't mean that you're automatically closing a building. There are other options.
Dr. Clark, these numbers are down quite a bit versus most Septembers. But has the trend, has it come up over the course of the year somewhat from the September number?
The trend has been that it comes up from the September number, and we've usually gone back to around 1,600. But I'm not sure whether that'll happen this year or not. This number is a little lower than it's been in the past. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we refer this to Facilities and Finance Committee for further discussion, if that's all right with you.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, any further discussion on Superintendent's comments and SU 003 through 004?
I would personally like to thank Ms. Spitzer and all the gentlemen from Del Valle, North Hunterdon, and Hunterdon Central for dedicating all their after-hour times to trying to fix this very complex and broken process.
There's been weekends.
And there's very little sleep, a lot of red eyes and swollen eyes, and I just want to say thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on 003 and 004. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to public comments. There are three public comments.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Ms. Spitzer, I believe in taking the roll call vote, you left a name out.
Mrs.
Yeah. Verderamo.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Mrs. Verderamo.
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain.
I apologize if I said your name wrong.
Oh, you don't.
Okay.
You can.
Oh. That's dangerous.
She'll be in your office tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to public comments. There are three public comment sections in the meeting.
Mr. President, I think, wasn't it 004?
Yes.
Before the public comment?
I'm sorry?
You were going to public comment, did we?
Yeah, we're agenda items.
Okay.
004 was moved with 003.
I'm sorry. Yes, my fault.
In this segment, it's a public comments on agenda items only. There's an additional public comment section, which is on any issue. But at this section of the meeting, if you can speak about agenda items, transportation is one of them. Just tell us. Tell us your name, where you live.
Transportation is not.
I mean, it's not officially on the agenda from.
Well, can I allow transportation comments?
Sure. Okay.
I have three things I want to mention. One's on the agenda you haven't spoken about yet, and two you've spoken about already.
I think we're fine for you to address your comments now.
I'm Amy MacIsaac. I live at 24 River Bend Road in Clinton Township. The first thing is just my point of view right off the bat. I would be, my initial instinct is I'd be against closing a school, very much so. And I, for one, would be looking extremely hard at, very critically, at your reasoning if you decided to do that and everything leading up to it. I would be very interested in looking at other options first. We have people moving in all the time. I know people just moved in with two small kids on my block recently. And older kids moved out and two young kids moved in. So I would look very critically at that. My second thing is, since the gentleman is here, and I wasn't going to say anything about the bus. I understand you guys are doing everything you can, and I've been doing my call once a week to find out what's going on with my daughter's middle school bus, but that's fine. My one question for you is, and I'm sitting next to a woman whose son also lives on my block and is on the same bus. There are four children that we know of that are going to Patrick McGarren. We all live on even numbers, 22, 24, 26, and 40-something with an even number. And the bus now drops off and picks up on the opposite side of the street. It's fine. There's parents always around across them. It's not a busy street. But we're just wondering why, when every single child lives on the other side, is the bus coming the other way? And we live in a circle.
Could I just ask you to tell me what route number that is?
What's the bus? Is it a letter?
It's
what letter?
Number.
E2.
E2.
Sorry. Thank you. So, and like I said, it's not a huge deal because we have parents and, you know, they're always crossing. But we just thought it was strange. Like, Before the rerouting just happened, they were actually getting dropped off on the right side of the street, and then they moved them across the street, which we thought was kind of bizarre. But okay.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Before the rerouting this past weekend?
Before the rerouting this past weekend, they were being picked up across the street but dropped off on the right side of the street.
Okay.
And now they're being both picked up and dropped off across the street.
Okay.
Like I said, it's not a busy street. There's always parents. It's not a huge deal. It's just kind of strange that there's four children living on the even side, and they're only and there's no children on the odd side going on this bus. So we just thought that was weird.
Could you tell me just the name of the stop again?
Riverbend Road.
Riverbend.
Riverbend is a circle.
Thank you.
Yeah. My other quick comment really was just a comment. I was very sad to see Erin Arletta leave. My daughter was very upset. She had her last year. She was hysterical. She was fabulous. We loved her at back-to-school night. My daughter had a fantastic experience with her. I was looking forward to my other children having her. And I don't know the circumstances she left. I'm hoping it was of her own volition and nothing we did. I know she was here a long time. I was surprised to hear she left. It just made me very sad.
We loved her, too.
Yeah.
And she was traveling a distance to come here and found something a bit closer to home.
Right.
And so that made a difference for her with her family.
Yeah.
And
it just it made me sad,
that.
And it also made me a little concerned. Like, I don't want us to lose good teachers like that. She was one of, you know, someone I consider, like my friend, one of the top three teachers we've had in my family. So I don't want to lose good teachers like that and do whatever we can to keep good teachers. That's all.
Thank you, Mrs. McIsaac.
Thank you.
What do you think on the transportation comments? Should we address them individually or collect them and then we can talk about them toward the end? Okay.
While Jerry is here, we're making one. He's going to have to look at...
Okay.
Mr. Ford... As you mentioned, each of these things, we've been reading, we collect all the emails, and we have a list of issues that we're working on addressing. But as you sage things, the reason why I'm asking the exact route and the stop is so that I can make a list, and I know Mr. Ford is writing it down, so that as he goes back and looks at the routes, he can see if there's anything that we can do about that. Sometimes it's an easy fix, sometimes it's not.
Okay, could you please just state your name and tell us where you live?
My name is Christy Altieri. I live at 4 Dorchester Road in Annandale.
Thank you.
I just have sort of a general question about the transportation issues we've been having. And being that I'm a new mom and my son is just in kindergarten, so this is my first exposure to the school district. I do understand that we did get a new bus company based on the price of the old bus company and the fact that you had to go out to bid and that sort of thing. But I guess maybe it's a procedural issue, but when did we find that we were going to have this new bus company, and why weren't the routes, the issues or anything practiced or the routes, I guess, examined before the children actually got on the buses? So I don't know if maybe all this didn't happen until the end of August, or, you know, because everybody that I've spoken to in my neighborhood has said, you know, that these routes have been in place for forever and that everything ran like clockwork before. And I, you know, can understand the first couple of weeks with things being, you know, off time-wise and that sort of thing, but, you know, completely missing stops or forgetting that children were on the bus and that sort of thing just seems to me that they should have maybe been ironed out before the children actually got on the bus.
Do you want me to take that, Jerry? Or?
Sure. The bus company is specifically prohibited from creating the routes that they may bid on. So there's a process. Unfortunately, the last bus company was a school district, and they could both operate the routes and create the routes. That's not a normal procedure. So I believe the district contracted for the routes to be created for the current operator to do. And they either misunderstood or they didn't do a good job. And the routes were not very efficient, and they were in need of more local people doing the routes and seeing what the requirements are. Basically, we've condensed and consolidated a lot of routes. Almost all the routes except two are shorter than the previous routes. That's not to say every child has a shorter ride, because within the route structure, as you saw in the last one, we obviously turned the route around and have it coming from the other direction. But the preponderance of students have a shorter route, and the routes are much more efficient and concise. There's another major element in that a lot of the buses, 15 buses, have two routes to do. So they have to be routed towards the next school, and they have to be able to get there in time.
I think, let me, if you don't mind, I'd like to just answer, I think, part of what your question was, all right, in that what happens is the routes get done over the summer. And what we had done is we tried to take the old routes that we thought were running well, right, and roll them up. It's called rolling them up. And that means that you then add in the new registrations, the new kindergarten students, and then you roll kids up to the next grade level and possibly school. So if they were a first grader at Spruce Run, now they're rolled up to a second grader at Patrick McGarren, all right? When you roll those up, right, it changes all the routes again. And when we first heard about the concerns about the routes the first week of school, I have to admit, I did not think the problem was the routes. I thought the problem was possibly the new bus company, right? And when I read the parent emails, I looked at the parent emails and I matched them up against the routes and saw that the problem was really the routes, not the new bus company. They were running the routes we gave them. And frankly, we thought we gave them the routes that we had before rolled up. The routes before were done by hand and not computerized. And sometimes when you roll those up, after you roll them up over and over after a number of years, they don't come out right anymore. So unfortunately, we hit the year where we changed bus companies and the routes became a problem all at the same time. It's a bad confluence of events. But at the end of the day, these routes are going to be much better than they ever were, because we had complaints, too, before that the routes, some of those routes, especially the PMG ones, were excessively long. So I think this will address a lot of that. It's just going to take us a little longer than I thought it would take us. I thought that I could say to the BA and the routers, okay, we need to do this in like a week's time and make it happen, and it can't happen that quickly. It takes a little longer to put in all the data and make it all fit together right.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I just had a couple of things. The bus. My daughter has a two-hour there and back ride, and I was hoping to get my email for what the new possible route would be tonight, but I haven't received it yet. And I wouldn't have to say anything, but I just think that it's unacceptable that my daughter's on the bus an hour each way. I understand we live far. I understand one way, but the fact that another first grader and two kindergartners are on the bus for that.
What is the route number?
Orange.
Orange? Oh. Okay. So that's the 01. Okay.
So, I mean, like I said, it could have been fixed. I didn't know yet. I haven't said anything because I figured with the whole front of the
year. That's one of the routes I know they're working on.
I know it's a favorite.
Yeah.
It definitely had a
yes,
on the first
o,
couple
yes,
of weeks.
The O route was a little challenging.
But so that, and then I thought, I can't remember which board meeting it was at, but I thought we spent like 10 grand recently on an efficiency of our routes. I can't remember which month it was.
We approved a contract for that, and I did speak to that company today to let them know that we were not pursuing that any further with them, and fortunately, we did not do any of the work with them, so we're not doing anything further with them, because Mr. Ford and the business administrator have been working on these routes and have now been working on efficiency routing with them. So that work will be done through them.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we had an already...
We're not going to be following through with that contract.
Okay, and then...
I informed the company today.
And then the other thing, I'm confused on the side of the street thing, because I've noticed it in your emails. Are they not supposed to cross the street to get into the bus, or is it just like, we do have that, but I don't... I mean, it's just what it is. I understand that.
What we try to do is we try very hard to get the kids, particularly the younger ones, and on places that are more dangerous roads, to get them on the same side of the street. It's not always possible. There are some roads that you just can't make that happen. But we do our best to follow the board policy, which says that, if at all possible, we should get it on the same side.
Okay, because, yeah, we do that. Since my last year was kindergarten, we didn't have the beginning part was at my house, so I didn't have that problem. And then coming back was on our side of the street, so I did not realize. And the other thing is, if our enrollment is dropping so low, I know that kindergarten dropped 2 classes, so now we went from 8 to 6, then maybe we could consider, if we're really losing that many students, a full-day kindergarten, because I think it's something that is important and might help up in the other older grades.
I think that's definitely something that we should look at for the future, yes.
A couple of comments. We talked about this earlier tonight. We had a facility, I'll talk about it a little bit, but as a parent of a Spruce Run student as well, Spruce Run and Mr. Ford and Mrs. Spitzer, correct me if I get this wrong, I think the new routes will be out by Wednesday for Spruce Run.
They said something about an email tonight, and then...
The emails are probably going out.
Yes, you'll get emails tonight or tomorrow morning,
right.
And they'll start running Wednesday.
And then give it a couple days to debug.
Yes,
hopefully we're back. And then your point about a full-day kindergarten is well taken. Maybe it should be conducted in financing facilities in conjunction with a demographic study or... part and parcel of the demographic study. So,
And also, well, I guess this is not going to happen. But you just reminded me of, I guess I wasn't reminded of it. This is just agenda item / transportation, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Byrne.
Good evening. John Sowers, 31 Upton Pine Road, Lebanon. I have... twin 4-year-olds that go to pre-K at Spruce Run. They started school last year when they turned 3. They placed out of early intervention, so they started in May of 2012. So from May of 12 to June of 12, the summer session of 2012, all of the 12-13 school year and the 13 summer session, which ended a month prior to this school year starting, they utilized a small bus to go to school. Now they're on a large bus. We had some issues in the beginning of the school year, the first week or so, with no car seats being on there. All that was resolved. We now have the car seats on the large bus. We had agreed with the district to utilize the big bus as long as certain safety requirements were in place. The car seats and an aide on the bus, which was arranged through Mrs. Goat, who I would like to thank for doing that. And that was agreed that we would do that while we were exploring the option to get a smaller bus back in place, which I think is a more appropriate vehicle for them. And as I understand, is in compliance with the board's policy, R8600, which says an appropriate vehicle shall be used. So my question to the board is, if the entire time they've been in school, except for the beginning of this year, the small bus was deemed appropriate, why is it no longer deemed appropriate this year? That would be one question. And then the second question I have is regarding evacuation drills. It's my understanding that during these drills, the children have to undo the seats themselves and get off the bus themselves as well. which I don't believe my kids can do. And now I have a couple questions right before we came here. My wife is here tonight as well. My mom told me that last week there was one day she was there with the kids and had a problem, I guess, loosening one of the seats to get them in, one of the straps. And she was told by the aide on the bus, which I don't know which aide it was, and I don't know if it was an employee of the school or the bus company, but she was told that she doesn't know how to work the seats. So to me, that's another problem.
Mr. Sarris, what route?
The bus is marked M1 and M3, so I'm not exactly sure which.
We just talked, actually, at our committee meeting this evening about exploring the possibility of those smaller buses. So we are looking at that. I don't have an answer for you tonight, but we did discuss it at the committee meeting and are exploring that as a possibility.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Sarris.
Karen Sarris, his wife, 31 Upton Pine. I had a few things a little different from what he was talking about. To begin with, I was just really disappointed with how this whole situation was handled. We had tried to make communication since we hadn't heard Saturday about when the buses were coming, what bus they'd be going on, and we were under the understanding that ESC would still be doing it with a smaller bus, so we didn't think that there was going to be any issue. That week, I reached out numerous times to the transportation person. I was told on a message to do an email, which I did, no response. Then I called, left a voicemail, hoping that I'd get a response, still no response. Wednesday, my husband brought the twins to Spruce Run to meet their teachers to kind of go through the day, and they had the big bus there to go on rides, you know, with the kids, so that hopefully they'd be able to adjust, but at that point, we still didn't know they'd be on a big bus, other than anything had changed. Thursday, we made contact with Mrs. Goad, and she was the one who told us about the changes with the bus, and I really felt that it was unprofessional and unfair to put her in that position. I felt she was made the scapegoat, and it really had nothing to do with her. She was good enough to let us know when the bus would be coming and that they'd be on a big bus. So that was upsetting when we were trying to reach out and getting no answers. And that's something that I don't know if any other parents felt was a problem, but if I had been told what was going on, I would have been able to work something out and prepare my children so that they wouldn't be hysterical. Going to the bus, they cry. They have, every single day is, why do we have to go on the big bus? It's a monster, it's gonna eat us. They're terrified of it because it's so loud. It probably would have been still difficult, but if we had had preparation, it would have made it a little easier on the kids and us, and probably the bus driver as well, because it wasn't a very pleasant situation. Dr. Clark, I don't know if you realized, or maybe I took it personally because I was so upset about everything going on. The night that you came back to Parents' Night, you made a joke about the busing, and I have not found this to be a joke. I don't believe my husband has. My kids haven't. This has been a really, really tough time, and it was really upsetting to us. And I understand that you're all working and trying to make this better, and I appreciate that. And once again, just, you know, trying to get a smaller bus, or if this ever happens again, communication with us. Because for me, if I had known about it, I would have even said, I understand, okay, change has happened, I'll drive them. You know, anything to make their school year start more easily and be less traumatic.
While you're looking at your notes, let me say that I'm certainly sorry that you were offended by the joke. I was making, I guess, a lame attempt at some humor, trying to find some humor in a very challenging situation for all of us. I certainly did not mean to offend, and I apologize if I did. I think that the communication and and believe me, I'm not making any excuses for that. Communication certainly needs to improve always. I think that we were under the impression that a lot of this was being communicated through special services, and I guess with the changeover in special services, that was missed. So we were under the impression that's where the communication was, and apparently it wasn't. So I, you know, as soon as I saw your emails, I tried to respond as quickly as possible and help straighten out the situation for you so the kids would be okay.
And we appreciate that. And just one other question. In terms of them being on the big bus or the little bus, is there going to be an aide on that bus? Because safety-wise, our kids can't undo those seats. And God forbid there were a crash. If something happened to that bus driver, our kids are done. And they also travel on, I believe, 22. If there are wires down, my husband and I look at this from a very different point of view. We're both police officers. We've seen what happens. And so it's something that we're truly concerned about.
I'm sorry, is there no aide on the bus now?
No, there is now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There have been a few days where there wasn't an aide, and then I drove them to school. But so I'm just trying to clarify and make sure.
You want to make sure there's an aide every day?
An aide on the bus.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Sarah.
School age. So when he turned 3 July 15th last year, he was actually on a bus that was picked up 8 a.m. every morning to take him through to see the Knowles, the 9 a.m. start. It was proposed to me initially at the beginning of this school year that time get moved to 7:25 a.m., which was totally unacceptable, a 35-minute increase, a 55% increase in transportation for a 4-year-old. We agreed for 7:50 time, and then there was an accident on 78 where, and sadly, people were killed. And PG Chambers wrote and complained about the fact my son was late that day. So it was brought forward to 7:40. I still think an hour and 20 minutes drive each way for 4-year-old is unacceptable, and I would like that wrangled into. If all the previous transportation times were from 8 o'clock, and they very rarely got there late, I think the change for the 20-minute increase is still unacceptable.
Mrs. Ford, where is the location?
Peter Chambers, Cedar Knolls.
Yeah.
Cedar Knolls.
So they're going up 78 and through Morristown at the height of traffic, right?
Well, yeah. They say that, but I had to, on the first day when I refused to allow them to take the transport, I dropped my 2 children off at Spruce Run at 8:30. I left Spruce Run at 8:30. I dropped my other son off at 9:05, and I did not break the speed limit.
Are there
and I use the 78 and the 286.
Are there any other children on that route, do you know? One other.
Okay, the next area I've got is two things. My other two children, again, one was preschool age, is on the big bus. And I believe there may have been a child seat put in there today, but I'm not allowed on the bus to check. But I do think it's unacceptable that preschool children will put onto the big buses without child seats. Under state regulations, a child of £40 or less should have a child seat, and he's £36.6 and therefore falls into that category. The second thing is I've had a number of emails that say that my child can have an aide for the first few days. Now, I admit at this point in time we're a little bit further on from the first few days, but I would like reassurance that there is going to be an aide on the bus for him, because my eldest child, who's autistic, if there was a reason for that bus to be evacuated, he is not going to survive without somebody keeping him safe. And I do have major concerns about that.
We get our communication from special services regarding transportation requirements. They actually do a transportation recommendation, and we actually follow those recommendations that they give us. and we'll have to look at what those recommendations say and speak to your case manager.
So, you and the Sowers, and you have young children in the school district. It sounds like they're both preschool age. And you may or may not be aware, you probably are, but with regard to transportation, there's a section in the IEP that governs transportation, and that should come up and be discussed during the IEP meeting, and the determination found about transportation. And that's what people like Heather's department, they don't decide what the decision is. They just take from special services what the finding was that was outlined in the IEP and then implement. And it's worth going back and looking in those IEPs to see how transportation was addressed. And if you think it needs to be reconsidered, my suggestion would be probably to reconvene an IEP meeting, you know, send a letter to the case manager, ask for an IEP meeting to discuss transportation, and that would be the correct way, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Clark, to implement a change in the transportation finding mm-hmm. through the IEP process. Would you agree?
Yes.
So maybe take a look back at that section, and if it's not in accordance with what you think is necessary, I think the right course of action would be to contact the case manager, ask for an IEP meeting to discuss transportation.
I would still definitely like something to look into for the timing of the child that goes to
the microphone's on.
Sure.
So you're going to have to be fine for an 8 a.m. pickup.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Hi, Sharon, excuse me, Zawadzki, Riverbend Road in Clinton Township. Do you have a goal on how long you want the children on the bus for? Because I think 50 minutes, or even some say an hour and 15 minutes, is a lot for a child when we only live like 7 minutes from the school. I mean, has that been discussed?
Yes, it has. We have some thorough discussion on that. Normally, here in Clinton County, 40 minutes is a pretty much a benchmark for a lot of us. 35 is ideally desirable. 45, you know, 5 minutes either way, again, is pretty much maximum. There are right now, approximately 2 weeks that are over that. I did not like they go for 15 minutes. And we've done our best to reduce that. But you have to understand we're only picking up 2 grades, it's low density. And I think we've done a good job of getting most of all of this in the 40-minute range.
Okay, because I know that there's children being picked up after my son, but being dropped off before him. So I thought that was...
We also try to do that. That's
the reverse.
It goes to equity on the route. If you have a short ride in the morning, you very likely have a longer ride in the afternoon. You can't go over routes that way. But that being said, that's the most fair way to do it.
Right.
You have the ability to do that.
So I sent a letter to the transportation email and have not heard a response yet. When do you think that I will get
what
that?
What is your route?
E2.
E.
And what is your stop?
It's 34 Riverbend Road. And he's right now, I mean, I pick him up because there's no way that he can be 50 minutes on a bus in the afternoon. I mean, he just won't sit still. So, and a couple of the other boys, I mean, they're just have already been asked to mm-hmm. quiet down. I mean, they're bored. They have nothing to do for 50 minutes, so they're going to get in trouble. And so I pick him up to avoid that, but I don't want to have to pick him up. I have a newborn at home. So that's my concern, is that the routes are a little long.
Well, what we're trying to finish addressing this week is the CTMS and Spruce Run routes. We'll play those out. And then we're going back on Monday and looking at some of the other concerns we have, like and they seem to be around, they're still around those Patrick McGarren routes, E2, G2, F2. Sure. Those are the ones that we're still looking at to try and see what else we can do with them.
And when
do you think, you said about 2 weeks you should have all of this?
I'm hoping. We hope.
Okay.
Is that a reasonable time frame, Jerry?
And the particular route she's talking about has historically been just awful. Dropping, I think, your son off, because you're my neighbor,
yes.
At 1,600 hours to 1,640 hours. And I have picked up my grandsons no longer go to McGarren, thank goodness. That's for the bus perspective. But I picked one up, didn't get the other off the bus in time, and I've waited at the bus stop at my house for 45 to 50 minutes for the bus to come and arrive. So I left the Patrick McGarren School at the same time. So that's been just over the years, and I've lived there for 22 years, historically a horrific route on Riverbend Road.
Yeah, I mean, they had my son walking down around the corner. I mean, it's only five houses, which, again, I'm not opposed to, but it was around the corner on the opposite side with no other children. And those children that were there are off in high school now. So that's how the routes have not been updated in that many years.
Well, they will be now.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson.
Good evening, board members, Dr. Clark. My name is Anthony Spagnolo. I live on Fort Glen Eagles Drive, Lebanon. I'm kind of saying about what everybody else is. My children, I have a second grader and a kindergartner. Same thing, my one son's on Route G2. We just got rerouted. I think I got the email Saturday evening, and his route, he's now on the bus for 53 minutes. It increased approximately 10 to 15 minutes each way, and that's the reroute schedule. My kindergartner, I'm still waiting for his first run schedule, so I really can't discuss that. Last time, I don't know what it was. I can't remember. I think it's M2, his other route. I'm just kind of curious when this is going to get resolved. I mean, you know, you increase the time from approximately 35 to 40 minutes and now over 50 minutes. And it's not just one direction where you assume that getting on the bus first, get off. It's both ways, approximately 50 to 53 minutes.
Is that the published time on the email that came?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 8:03 pickup, and I believe 3:57 or 3:59 drop off was on the latest one that just came out on Saturday.
Okay.
And the other thing, sir.
I would say, I think part of the problem there in the afternoon that the buses haven't been dismissing from Patrick McGarren because they should have put some of the buses not getting there.
G2 increased because we added the old mountain. That's why it increased. That was one of our shortest routes at the time. So in order to balance some of our routes, that's what we did. But we are still looking at it as it comes through to see how that's going to work out time-wise because we did see a significant change, and that was one that we were working on last night along with E2.
Yeah, because part of the problem we have is that with my kindergartner. My kindergartner gets picked up roughly about 20 after 8.
Right, but that will change.
Right, but it's also down the street and around the corner from my kindergartner as well. So now we're waiting at the bus stop approximately 20 minutes.
Two different places, you mean, is currently what you're doing? I'm sorry.
No, we're all at the same bus stop.
Okay.
We're at the corner of Glen Eagles and Heatherville, number 7.
Gotcha.
So it's a spread between the stops for the kids?
No, both are in the same spot.
They're
early
the same.
One time spread.
Yeah, the time is different.
And that is because we haven't finalized Spruce. They typically run very close together. So with the change to his McGarren student, the Spruce routes just haven't been finalized, and my thought is they'll probably be very similar, at least for the short term.
Yeah, because I'm also concerned. Like I said, I'm concerned with G2 because I travel to Randolph every day, and my son's commute going 6 miles down the road is further than mine going back and forth to Randolph. And I'm like, he's 7. He should not put up with the commute that I put up with every day. So, all right. So, Mr. Ford, do you need an email?
Please.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
If you, I have, if you sent it to the transportation one, all right, those are all going to Jerry. So I actually wrote it down, so I have it. But if you send it to the transportation, CTSD at transportation, that email will go to Jerry.
Yeah, because we did send one before when the buses first came out, because it was 3 minutes apart, both myself and my kindergartner were, you know, my wife's home, I'm gone for work. It was difficult to get both of them, so I guess we sent an email off and they came back and said, sorry, we're not picking up in front of your house now. But number 7 down the road for both my kindergartner and my second grader. So I believe it's the same way, even though the bus goes right past the house. No.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. So you need an email?
Yeah.
And when are the ones for Spruce Rock coming out? Just I don't want to have them in bed and find out Wednesday morning.
Once Jerry gets back, he's working on that tonight, and hopefully we can get them out later tonight or early tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So you'll get the notification about it, and it'll be enacted Wednesday.
Yeah, because I would like to, I can't speak for everybody, but I'd like to get something with, you know, more than a few hours' notice, please. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mrs. Spagnuolo.
My name is Maria Yanko. I'm with 112 Westchester.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Could you say it again? We couldn't hear you.
My name is Maria. Okay. And,
One Westchester Terrace?
Yes. I'm sorry, I have a cold, so
that's okay.
This is as good as I'm going to get for now.
But
I have a question. I need a clarification, and I also have, I want to understand, does that mean what you put, I want to understand, is this the final routing for the PMG and?
No.
Okay, because I have expressed some concerns, and I've sent an email, right, and you did respond back that you said he's going to take a look at it, so I wasn't sure if I was going to detail that out here, but I wanted to know, is what you've said final, and you're basically not going to make any more adjustments unless
no.
you get, you know, a certain number where that's the same concern, and that's the only thing that's going to drive you to make a change?
No, we are still making adjustments. We're trying to finish the CTMS routes, the middle school, and Spruce Run. That'll start on Wednesday. That'll run this week. We'll try and get out the glitches, any bugs in it. And then on Monday, we're going to look again, go back to any of the concerns we had with Patrick McGarren and Round Valley, so that we can see if we can smooth out any of those issues.
So here's where I'm a little confused, right? For the Round Valley route, right? For the Country Club Drive and, area, right? There, what I don't understand is the bus actually goes through Country Club Drive to get to the stop, and they eliminated the stop where we're at. I'm like, but they have to pass it in order to get to the next stop that they're going to do pick up. And what the other piece that I just found out today is that the driver told, I'm a working parent. Both my husband and I are working parents. Okay, so part of the issue for me is the timing, because some of the commute kind of assumes that I work here, like in this town, which I don't. So like my son's pickup is at 8:40. My time to be at work is 9, and I am not in this town, so I either have to do this and pray that I make it there, right? So that's what I mean by some of these are, you know, that's driving my concern. And my husband was trying to help me do the Round Valley one, but he can't do that with the time frame.
What is your last name?
Yanko.
Yeah. Yes.
He can't help me.
I know the question, and we are working on it.
So, But this is what I found today, right? The driver told my father, because he was picking up my daughter, that they are no longer going to stop at the Westchester stop, because that's not part of the P, P3 route, okay? They're going to stop at Mission Hill, I think, is what he said, which is the, like, road before us kind of thing. They're going to eliminate Westchester and go directly down to St. Ledger. Well, if you're making one stop, okay, then what I want to know is, why did you put my daughter on the S3 bus? They're still stopping on the Country Club. P3 is still somehow stopping on the Country Club Drive. That's what this driver said. Why did you move her to an S3 bus? I don't understand. I don't understand why, if they're still going to stop on that road, granted it's a street over. Street overs I'm okay with, right? But you're making a stop there anyway. Why would you totally route her differently? Because then her time switches, which then prompts my email. So if she was left on that P3 bus, which you still kept the stop for, not necessarily mine, but you kept the stop for, they're going to stop there. Why would you switch her to a totally separate route?
I actually can't answer that without looking at the exact route. Do you know?
I don't. I haven't. I did.
We'll have to look at it.
Received your notification.
I just want to understand.
We saw your message today. We did. And I sent it over to Jerry, so I know he's looking at it. Okay. But I don't know the answer tonight of what the issue was.
That's a good question.
They didn't want the Mission Hill stop because it's a very busy intersection, and at some point they didn't feel that was safe. So that's why it became the Westchester Terrace stop. So you actually eliminated the stop that they felt was safer than the one that you kept. So not now is what this driver is saying.
Drivers don't have to be patient. Sometimes they'll get route changes and they don't realize that those spots are on the route.
Okay.
You know, they get their route and they're expected to be familiar with their route, not necessarily their route.
So to clarify, can I email you directly?
Sure.
Okay, and just so that I can understand like how that's planned out?
Right.
Okay, because I'm it's not clear to me. And in the meantime, I'm trying to understand what should I be doing with my child while I'm trying to juggle, you know, having my husband trying to help me, but, you know, he can't always, on a daily basis, be late for work. So I'm trying to understand roughly, like you said, so I have to wait about 2 weeks, right, for any type of resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect that to take 2 weeks. We will look at that.
Okay.
That's not going to... If we're going with the same bus in the same direction and it's still doing the same thing it was doing, I think that is a relatively quick fix and something that's been brought to our attention. I did receive it later this afternoon and we haven't had a discussion. So we will get back to you. That, do you agree? That's not a difficult
request.
Change if we can do it. I can't promise...
That's
we
fine.
Can do it, and that's what we have to look at. We just haven't had a chance to do that.
So I was debating whether I should ask that or not, but I kind of wanted to understand if you were totally done, unless you were getting 5 million, you know, complaints of the same thing, or whether there was still options. So it's good to know to hear that.
I think the detail is helpful, Ms. Yanko, especially for people like Mr. Ford. You know, maybe some pre-existing information that he may not be privy to. He's using a mapping program, so the detail, you know, please forward it, and it'll be taken into consideration. And the district will do, you know, whatever it reasonably can do. Just, you know, keep the information flowing, and they're working on it daily.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Any additional comments in public comments at this time? This is for agenda items. There's an additional comment section immediately following this. on any, any open topic, doesn't need to be on the agenda. Okay, we're going to move on to first recognition of the public. Heather, if it's okay with you, Mr. Ford, I know you've got some work to do tonight, so if you want to go ahead and do that, we appreciate you taking the time out of that process to come and talk to the parents and to the Board of Ed tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to first recognition of the public. This is an additional opportunity to address the board on any topic. It doesn't need to be on the agenda. So if anyone from the public has anything they would like to discuss with the Board of Ed, this is the time.
Anna Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I swear you guys are going to start coming by my house. I just remembered my other thing. Are we told when there is a bus late? Like, I know when I put my daughter on the bus, it comes roughly around the time it's supposed to, so I assume she gets there on time. However, I have a friend who has dropped off multiple times because that's what she chooses to do, and I've heard that my daughter's bus isn't there yet, and I see that she's late. Once in a while, I totally understand traffic, things happen, but if this is something that is repeatedly happening, I would like to not address it, but I would rather drive my daughter at that point because I know Mrs. Goad says, at least in previous emails I've gotten, that 9:50 is not when we stroll into school, or 8:50 is not when we stroll in. 8:50 is when we're at our desk, ready to go. And I 100% agree with that, and I believe that. So if that's something that is continually happening, I would personally, as a parent, would like to know that so that I can adjust what I do for my child so she understands that that is what I expect as well.
We've been asking the principals to email us and let us know the times that the last buses are coming in so we can track this and let Mr. Ford know. So if those times have to be adjusted, we are. So we've been tracking them now. So we're hoping to adjust any late buses with the timing changes.
May I also interject here a little bit? That's one thing that we were discussing as well. If you remember, Mr. Ford talked about packaging the routes. Those Spruce Run routes are either being done by a CTMS route or a Round Valley route. So what's happening as we've rerouted, it's possible that we don't have them linked properly.
Yeah, I know
anymore.
My bus comes from the middle school. My bus driver has informed me of that.
So I'm not sure what buses are specifically linked with yours at the moment off the top of my head. I apologize. But if it's a route that happens to be a CTMS route or if it's a Round Valley route that we are struggling a little bit with timing, unfortunately, it impacts the second route. So that's one thing we were looking at as well tonight, is to make sure that the packaging, you know, kind of makes sense that maybe a shorter either CTMS route or Round Valley route is done in conjunction with, a longer PMG or Spruce route, so you kind of have more time to get it done. And that's one thing that they're taking the time tonight to make sure that we're able to do. And that's a reason we're a little delayed in getting out the routes information for Spruce
and I totally understand that. But I mean, the fact that if you guys make my daughter get on the bus earlier, I am just going to have to drive her because she already gets on the bus at 8 at Esmond. 8:55 in the morning.
Right.
Well, to have her get on at what, 7:30, when the middle school or the Round Valley, I have kids that are picking up 20 minutes before my daughter.
I understand. We can't really adjust too much of her pickup time because it's coming from another school. What we need to do is make sure that if it's a longer route for the elementary, that it's a shorter route for the older level. And that's what we're working out, because with the route changes, it's possible that the way it was packaged before isn't working now, and we're going to adjust it. You won't see a change except for pickup time.
Okay.
It might be just a different driver and a different bus. It'll still be called whatever your route is called. It just might be coming from a different direction.
Okay, and my other question was, I believe at the last board meeting there was talk of did this whole transportation thing completely stop the building cleanup?
Did the transportation issue stop the building?
I'm just wondering if you guys are still
busy
doing that.
No.
I thought
I'll actually touch about the building cleanup and finance, but
okay, I didn't
see
it at all. No. I was just
nope. So, other things.
Thanks, Mrs. Brown. Any other comments? in first recognition of the public on any topic? Okay, seeing none, we're moving on to the report of the school business administrator, Mrs. Spitzer.
Our next meeting will be held here on October 28th at 7:30 p.m. Most of our work at the moment is focusing on transportation and trying to get those issues resolved as quickly as we can. We are still waiting to have our audit done, so the financials will follow. That's really good. We have on our agenda the minutes for August 26th, as well as the executive session for August 26th.
Thank you. I'm seeking a motion for BA-007.
So moved.
By Rachel McLaughlin, and second?
Second.
By Maria Grant. Any discussion on BA-007? Okay, seeing none, seeking a roll call vote.
Ms. Cresti?
I abstain from the portion regarding the meeting minutes.
I don't think there's anything else.
No, I just looking at information.
Okay.
You can get out of the meeting on October 20th.
Thank you. Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgin?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes, to the minutes, but I'm going to abstain from the executive session because I did not attend.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes, and we have one more.
And Mrs. Verderamo.
It's okay. I abstain. Thank you.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to committee reports. Kevin Malloy is the chair of our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Malloy, can you give us a report of the activities of your committee?
Certainly. Thanks, Mr. Sturgis. The Finance and Facilities Committee had trouble finding an appropriate time to meet, given that our superintendent and our business administrator were so busy working on the transportation problems that we've talked about tonight. So we were able to meet, but we met this evening prior to the public board meeting and worked on a few open items. I think it's a fairly light agenda relative to prior months. We're only moving 14 items. A few items to bring your attention to. Item 14, FF054. Is the engagement of Mrs. Ford, Barry, and Orem for transportation consulting. They've, as we've talked about, been working with Mrs. Spitzer days, nights, weekends, and if you can actually squeeze anything into time between days, nights, and weekends, that time as well. There is a payment of bills, budget school travel, nothing here that would be considered apart from what we've talked about, unbudgeted. Another item to point out is a payment to the contracting for the Round Valley bathroom. We talked about that at our last board meeting. The barn. So despite transportation taking up most of the time, we do have an update on the barn. And the barn, I think everybody here can probably sympathize and be familiar with this. It is now all appropriate paperwork resides with a third party related to building inspection, and we are awaiting approval for that. Once building inspection approval does come in, it is then a matter of, jokingly, a simple matter of coordinating the archaeologist, the contractor, the insurance company. I'm missing at least three other parties.
The historian. The DEP.
So, I mean, we talked at last month's committee meeting about all the steps to go through. But so we are awaiting that. There will be inventory of information going through. Because it does contain some items of potential historical value, we have to be pretty judicious about how the barn is cleaned up. Apart from that, we will very soon be talking budgeting again, so it's time flies. So we'll be doing budgeting within the next couple of months, and I think I can confirm, thanks to some good input from members of the public, that the next Facilities and Finance Committee meeting held post this meeting will include discussions related to the appropriate steps for a full-day kindergarten study, and the appropriate steps for a demographic study. I wish to point out on full-day kindergarten, it was something, I believe there was an ad hoc committee formed last year, or perhaps 2 years ago, related to this.
I don't think it was ad hoc. I think it was...
I believe we had input from members of the public as well on this on a committee, did we not?
No.
It was a committee of the board.
Okay.
We had a presentation, and we solicited comments at a public meeting, but I don't think,
yes.
I don't think we did it as an ad hoc, but might be the route we take this time.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting at is editorially, we're going to be looking at this, I think, in a more in-depth manner. So, with that, 14 items, as I said, I seek a motion on Finance and Facilities items 14FF054 through, 14FF047 through 14FF060.
So moved. And a second?
I'll second it.
By John Higgins. So we have a motion and a second on the Facilities and Finance action items. Is there any discussion on Facilities and Finance? I have a couple. I noticed on FF060 that we have a grant coming in from ExxonMobil Corporation, $3,300 for the school year, for STEM-related equipment and resource materials. And I just noticed over time that we've received multiple grants from ExxonMobil, and I just wanted to thank them for the grants. They always seem to be relating to science, which makes sense. I know they've had some participation in our schools. I've seen them at science. Oh, was it RVS? Was that a science night? So they are active in our schools. So I just wanted to thank them publicly for their grant. We appreciate it. And then one other comment I had is on the barn. We would like to get rid of the barn as well. And there are a lot of hurdles that we've been navigating and that still need to be navigated to make it go away. Those have been put in place, and it's now just a regulatory approval. We need approval to remove the barn. As soon as that's in hand, we'll move forward quickly to get it out of there. We're hoping to do that before any additional storms come in. We don't want debris flying around. So that to the degree that it's within our control, we're moving forward as quickly as we can with that barn cleanup. Any other comments on the Facilities and Finance action items? Seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Abstain.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the Personnel and Negotiations Committee. Dan McTiernan is the chair of that committee. Mr. McTiernan, could you please give us a report on the activities of your committee?
Certainly. There is an addendum, so we'll be looking at action items 14PM072 through 14PM098 this evening. In addition to that, just a little bit of an update. We've been working since February with the Clinton Township Education Association, and just want to let you know or make sure everyone's aware of that we do have a memorandum of agreement in place that was put forth on August 14th of this year. We are working on a few last-minute items for agreement. Our next meeting is scheduled for, I think it's Thursday, October 3rd, but October 3rd. And ideally, we hope that at that meeting we'll come to a position with the association, that the association can go to its membership, we hope quickly, to vote on an agreement. At the same time, right after that, we expect to start our negotiations with the administrators and also office staff, ideally to come to agreement before year-end close so that we can have everything effective from the beginning of the end of the contract period. Additionally, when you look at these 27 items that we have here, it's important to note that a lot of times the effort that the administration puts forth is often lost in the approval of the activity. But the activities that are listed here actually affect 123 different positions. That's a lot of work effort that the staff has to put out, the district staff, the school staffs, to interview people, screen people, and make sure that we have the right people in the right place at the right time. Some of these moves are multiple in that when someone takes someone else's place, that ends up in a multiple backfills. And that's reflected in some of these positions here, too. But looking at these, we have interns, observation people, and student teachers. We have three of those coming in. We have a good feeder pool of people looking at Clinton Township School District as a place to learn and develop their teaching skills. But we are viewed as, I think, a choice location for people to come and join in. Unfortunately, that as people go through their careers, the staff and the district staff are both faced with the unfortunate opportunity to have resignations, is that people do resign for a lot of different reasons. Usually they're all for personal, sometimes for advancement closer to home. I know one parent here just spoke of a teacher that they admired that's moved to, in their personal situation, a better place. We also had an unfortunate circumstance that we approved a position last month. And at the approval of that position, it turned out the individual that we brought in had some personal issues that came up, family concerns, that resulted in that person resigning from the position almost as soon as the person had started. And I would like to ask Dr. Clark to go over just a little bit the selection process to replace that person, and this is for the assistant principal position. We've made a selection. We've engaged appropriate staff members, appropriate interviews. It's important to note that that screening process is rather extensive and timely, and the staff was able to come up with what we think is an excellent choice. And I wonder if Dr. Clark would be kind enough to introduce the selectee.
Yes, I'd be very happy to do that. I'd like to talk a little bit about Mrs. Hinkle and brag about her a little bit. She is a graduate of Drew University with a BA in history and K-12 social studies, as well as with a Master's of Arts from Fairleigh Dickinson University with a degree in educational leadership. She is an experienced fourth and fifth grade teacher currently in Lebanon Township. Her experiences range from developing action plans for intervention and referral committee, to writer's workshop, curriculum writing. She's been on committees with EE4NJ, for those of you who don't know that about that, that's the teacher evaluation process. She's been involved in problem-based learning presentations at the teachers' convention, and worked on strategic planning committees. We've had over 20 applicants for this position, and it was very competitive, frankly, with many, many strong candidates, internal and external. We had committees of teachers and administrators who interviewed multiple candidates, and this is our unanimous recommendation to the board. And so I'd like to introduce Mrs. Hinkle. Interestingly enough, she's been dealing with some transportation issues in her district in Lebanon Township. We've been sharing stories about that process. So I'm very excited and proud to have her here. Joining us tonight and becoming hopefully part of the Clinton Township District and administrative team.
And Ms. Hinkle's action item is PN079. Additionally, as you look through all of the items that we've got here for action, there's a number of substitutes that we're bringing on board and getting ready. We have teachers, nurses, bus subs, lunch aides. We've also now selected chaperones for some of the upcoming school events that are going to be taking place. I'm sure the students are happy that the chaperones are in place and the events will go on as planned. We've got athletic advisors, co-curricular advisors, coordinators. I want to know how you get on this. I don't ski, but how do you get on the ski club as an advisor and get paid for it? That's got to be a pretty good deal. In addition, we've got...
I don't know. I've been there. Some of those nights are a little wearing.
It's like high school marching band. I've done that for marching band. That's enough. And some maternity replacements that are going on. So a lot. What's important to note is there's a lot of activity. Much of that is refreshing. And when you look at an organization, is that yes, we do have some turnover here, but it is not out of character and not out of sync with what it should be at. And also, that's pretty healthy to bring in some new thought processes into the school district. We're also very pleased to see Ms. Hinkle coming here because we know what it's going to be as far as the challenge to get all of the evaluations done in the appropriate time frames, and she will have a very active part in that once approved. So we also have one thing in here, too. I forget which number it is, but we are increasing one of our aides in regards to an IEP that has been increased that is unfunded. It's important to note, and that is from a half-time person to a full-time person. As you may know, that with IEPs, that we are bound by the laws, that we have to follow those. And so that is an unfunded movement of one, and I'm sure that we'll see a couple of others as we go through the year. Yeah, those are included in these numbers here, too. So with that, I'd like to make a motion that we approve PN 072 through PN 098.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. McTiernan, and Mr. Malloy, you want to second that?
Oh, I'm sorry, he moved it. Yes, I'll second that.
Second by Kevin Malloy. Is there any discussion on PN 072 through 098?
I just had a question on 091 and 092. Perhaps we could just give an overview of how those teachers are appointed to those positions for the co-curricular.
Those positions, I believe, are posted.
Yep.
And teachers apply for those positions, and they're based on experience and interest level, and clearly skill with that particular sport.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any additional discussion on the PNN action items? Okay, seeing none, Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote?
Ms. Kresty?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Abstain.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carried.
Congratulations.
Congratulations,
yes,
Ms. Higgins. Welcome to the Clinton Township School District. We look forward to working with you and getting to know you. So good luck in your new position.
It is a great place, and you'll be working with a great team.
Okay, moving on to the Policy and Curriculum Committee. Rachel McLaughlin is the chair of this committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, could you give us a report on the activities of your committee?
I can. I'd also like to welcome Mrs. Hinkle to our district. We're very excited to have somebody to work with Mrs. High and our wonderful staff at Round Valley. The Policy and Curriculum Committee met last week. We had a very lengthy discussion about a variety of topics. We did start to begin the process of looking at some of our New Jersey ASK scores in the area of mathematics. And Bobby, I do believe next month will be the testing presentation. So I know that one of the hot topics right now that many parents came out for tonight was our transportation issue. Next month, we'll be discussing our New Jersey ASK scores and looking at student achievement. And so perhaps we can send out an announcement to parents that the testing report will be occurring in the month of October to hopefully attract some more members, because it's always nice to see new faces in the community participating. The new teacher tenure law, EE4NJ, as Dr. Clark referred to earlier, has some new policies that we need to look at in our district. And so there'll be first reading of a series of policies that I believe everyone got in your board packet. Certification of tenure charge, inefficiency, suspension upon certification of tenure charge, teaching staff member tenure acquisition, tenure upon transfer or promotion. We also had an employment contract and harassment, intimidation, and bullying. And there's also a regulation related to harassment, intimidation, and bullying. So because this is a first reading, I would encourage board members to look through these new policies, and if they have any comments, to forward them to me prior to the next policy and curriculum meeting, which I believe is the, I don't remember, but second or third week of October. And we can discuss those in our committee. We have another action item tonight. The Board of Education is approving the field trip to Shawnee Mountain for the ski club. However, I want to point out that the funds associated with this event are solely based on the participants, and the parents are responsible for funding the program. It's not something that the district does fund. In addition, I just wanted to mention I have attended two of my three back-to-school nights so far. I'd like to thank Dr. Clark for her informative presentations to the parents. I did learn of an issue that arose during sixth grade that some parents were concerned about the number of textbooks in social studies. And last year, our committee approved purchase of social studies textbooks for fifth grade so that the fifth and sixth grade textbooks, which were shared, would now move to the sixth grade. And we have become aware that there may not be enough copies of the sixth grade textbook. So we are looking in our committee at how we can make sure that every child has a copy of that textbook.
I just wanted to update you on that. We did do an inventory of the textbooks. We are actually one textbook short.
Good news.
We did put an order in today for 20 additional textbooks to have, so that there would be some for any new students who might be moving in. We get that over the course of the school year, and so we were able to get some discounted texts, and so we did put an order in for 20. And I think, I'm sorry, Bobby, was it next week there'll be? Okay, shipped out this Wednesday. So, right. So after Mrs. Hyde did an inventory, it was actually that there was only one book short.
That's wonderful news.
So, and Mrs. Hyde did send out a letter to the parents on Friday evening at Round Valley to inform them about the purchase of the additional books, and that we would have them in the classrooms for the kids. So.
Thank you very much. I know that the sixth grade parents are very appreciative. So with that being said, I want to move action items, 14PC005 through 14PC006.
Do we have a second?
Second.
By Marie Grant. So we have a motion and a second on the PNC action items. Is there any discussion? Oh, I heard it in my right ear.
She can have it. She can have it.
I'll give you the next one. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on PNC action items? Rachel outlined it, but I just wanted to highlight the process, maybe for Mrs. Rotaramo, since she's new. When you see a reading on a policy, there's a first reading, which is it's sent out to the board. We vote on it. That's kind of your first opportunity to review and make comments on it. And you want to funnel those comments back to the PNC committee so that they can be updated into the final draft. And then at a subsequent board meeting, we would do a second reading, at which time our comment period is done, and we will eventually adopt those policies. So when you see them come out, please make sure you read them, funnel comments back to the committee chair of the Policy and Curriculum Committee, because the second time you see them, they'll become our policy.
Can I also add that would these policies be available online so that if the public would like to comment at our next board meeting, they'll have the opportunity
to comment? I just wrote myself a note to post on the website. So I know we like to do that after the first reading. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any additional discussion on PNC action item? Okay. Seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote? Mrs. Fitzgerald.
Ms. Presti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Abstain, please.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to our Communications Committee, Maria Grant is the chairperson of this committee. Mrs. Grant, could you please give us a report?
Certainly. Communications Committee worked in the month, the latter part of August. We put together a staff appreciation breakfast for the staff upon their first day of return to the district. It's our way of thanking them for what they do for our children and for our community. Welcome them back and wish them a good year. So that that took place in August.
It was fabulous, by the way. Especially, let me just say, the candy bar. And Mrs. McLaughlin did a whole letter to the staff with notes about the candy bar, which was fun and made us all smile and laugh, and it was just a really welcome kind of thing. Thank you.
The committee met, and we talked about a couple of things. The first thing we discussed was the Clinton Township newsletter, and that's been a topic that's been going on here in discussion at board meetings for a while. We had the results of the survey that came back, and what we talked about and decided upon is that we wanted a new look and feel for the Clinton Township newsletter, something that was a little bit easier to read. We wanted to put things in a consistent spot. So if you didn't have a lot of time and you wanted to see something on the budget, that would be in one particular spot in that two-page spread, so you can go there immediately and find that. So actually we're working on that, getting some examples, and we'll work with Julie Flynn on the new look and feel. We agreed that we would keep Dr. Clark's section. She gets rave reviews on what she writes every month. We're talking about putting a glamour shot of her in that section so that we can put a face and a name together. We're going to put a section on committee reports, an occasional letter from the board president as we see fit. There will be a section on the budget and information on the upcoming budget. And then we will have, next to Dr. Clark's section, the second most favorite section, which is what's going on in our schools. And we talked about limiting a little bit of what's in there so that we can highlight more of a particular event instead of having it so short. So if something bigger was going on in one of the schools, we would spend a little bit more real estate in the Clinton Township newsletter to do that so things don't get shortchanged. We agreed to have a meeting on October 3rd to then talk about the website. We've been collecting feedback from parents and folks in the community, and feedback from board members as well. We'll meet on the 3rd to start looking at how to make changes and improvements in the website on the 3rd of October. And that's what I have for my report this month.
Thank you very much. Any comments on communications?
I did have, it's related to communications, but I just wanted to expressed to Dr. Clark that prior to coming here tonight, I dropped off my son at a basketball tryout, and I had a number of parents who commented about our transportation issues and were very pleased that there was constant communication, and so they are really appreciating the weekly updates. So as we change some of the routes tonight that were spoken about, if we could continue to send out those letters to parents, they're deeply appreciated.
On that point, when we met in committee with Mr. Ford earlier, he's one of our routing experts, we talked about the fact that we'd published new routes for starting effective today for two schools, and then it'll be this evening or tomorrow morning for two additional schools. He mentioned that there's a workout period. Once you change the routes and the drivers start running them, there's a period of adjustment. And maybe that would be good to communicate as well. Like, you know, today, I don't think all the buses were right on the new projected time, but maybe explaining that there's anticipated to be a 4 or 5 day workout period to either get them on that schedule or determine that the schedule needs to be adjusted. So I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Mrs. Grant, do you know what is the lead time on the CT newsletter? How far in advance do you have to submit?
I think it's a good 6 weeks before it gets published.
Yeah, it is.
Usually around the 10th of the month, which is what makes it very challenging because you're so far in advance in terms of your communication that I often feel like by the time it comes out, it's
old news.
The moment's passed. But
and in the past, when we
do the best we can.
In the past, if we have something we really need to get out, we do the email blast to the parents and to the staff, but then also the township has been very cooperative to allow us to put things on their website to help get information out as well. They've been great with that, in addition to us putting things on our website as well.
Thank you. Any other comments on communications?
I just wanted to share that I was at an area superintendent's meeting this past week, and You know, what I heard last year from parents at the middle school was some concerns about wanting more information from the high school distributed at the middle school. And so I was able to have a conversation with Mike Hughes up at North, and we talked about having some better communication between the middle school and North and getting them down to talk to our parents and kids. And I spoke to Mrs. Hammond today, and she's in communication with the high school. And we're setting up, we opened up a whole new line of dialogue, which I was very pleased about, because we've been trying to get that for a year or so, maybe longer than that. So we're opening up that dialogue, and I feel very good that we'll get some better communication between the high school and the middle school parents about programs up there. So I'm a little excited about that.
Great, thank you. Any other communications comments? Okay, moving on to old business. This is a time for the members of the Board of Education to address any old business. So any board members, do you have any old business?
Yeah, I'd like to make some comments on the busing situation, some maybe more positive comments that a number of people have been working. We hear the concerns from everyone out there, but I think the administrators, the board staff, superintendent to be committed on the work effort that they're putting out to try and address these things and make them work. They've gone above and beyond. They have not solved everything. I believe that the concerns that we've heard from a number of people tonight will be addressed and addressed successfully. But also, I've lived in this community for 22 years and on the same street that two of my neighbors here were talking about, River Bend Road. And if you've ever been to a bus accident, whether it has adults in it or children in it, I'll just can tell you from personal experience, they're not a pleasurable thing to go to. I've always been upset at the speed buses go through my neighborhood. And right now, I have three bus lines that go through my neighborhood. The difference this year, and as opposed to past years, is none of those buses today stop in front of my house. One bus company, only one bus company drives the speed limit. Mm-hmm. And I live in a neighborhood where children can pop out quickly, dogs can pop out, and a lot of people actually drive to walk around. And I really would like to commend the bus company, if I get their name right, Irvin Raphael, for driving the speed limit. The other two bus companies do not, and it is dangerous. They have two sharp curves at the end of River Bend. When you go around those turns, you can't see. The idea of an accident there is just not good. But the idea that that bus company at least takes the concern to drive at the speed limit in a residential neighborhood, especially with the roads that we have and the conditions coming up in the fall, with ice that's going to be coming, the leaves on the road, and et cetera. I would just like to thank them for that and then have us continue to work to fix the bus routes and the concerns that people have for their children. And also especially those people attending the Patrick McGarren School, is that all of my kids have gone there, and that has been just an extremely long route for us.
So. One of the things that I'd like to say about that is that when the Finance and Facilities Committee interviewed the bus company when making this change, they were concerned about making a change, and they asked a lot of questions. And one of the questions had to do about concerns about speed. And Irvine Raphael has a GPS system on the buses that tracks the speed of the drivers. And so they track the speed all the time of the drivers. So those drivers, if there's any speeding, they are pulled off those buses and reprimanded. So the company actually watches that speed very carefully. So that's why you see that, because they're actually tracking that at all times.
That's good to know, because I've been in emergency vehicles with lights and sirens operating, and I've been passed by a school bus with kids in it. Not ours.
Mm-hmm. Clarification.
I'd call that one in quick.
Mm-hmm. You did.
Yes, I did.
On the same topic of transportation, since we're talking about it tonight, in the new spec for the RFP that went out for transportation, these buses have cameras on them. That wasn't the case before. It was somewhat sporadic, but in this contract, the buses have cameras. There's some other safety features. The drivers have to go to the back of the bus to hit a button before they can shut the bus down. The cameras run for 10 minutes after the buses are shut off, and the drivers can hit a button to flag the video. So if there's something going on that they see in the rearview mirror, they may not be able to stop or make note of it. They can tag a button, which will just flag the video, so then later on, they can ask, go back to the school and say, yeah, I'd like you to take a look at the video at 14:21:17. There's something I didn't like there. So it's a safety feature that was built into the new specification. And we appreciate you all coming out to talk to us about your experience and concerns about transportation. We read everything that's sent to us. We listen to the people who call us on the phone and the people you run into at volleyball and basketball. And many of us have children or grandchildren in the schools as well. And we're also, going through some of the adjustments with the buses. So I just want to let you know that we hear you, and we communicate our concerns and your concerns back to the people in the school district. Okay, any other comments? Actually, we're still in old business. Is there any other old business? Okay, moving on to new business. This is for members of the board. Is there any new business? I have one. I'll make it quick. We discussed this in policy and curriculum briefly. About contacting the county prosecutor about coming to our school to do training. It came up in committee a couple of meetings back, and I had asked Michelle Christie if she would look into it because she had some contacts at the prosecutor's office. And she was able to make contact, and subsequently I think Dr. Clark has reached out to the prosecutor's office to talk to them about coming into our schools to talk about a couple of things, one being concerns relating to texting, and another being just drug abuse prevention in the schools. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we would like to see more of. We have some concerns, not specific concerns, but we just want to make sure that the students and parents are exposed to the most current information about those risks. Any other new business? Okay, moving on to second recognition of the public. This is an additional time for members of the public to speak to the Board of Education. It does not have to be an item on the agenda. Please just approach the mic and tell us your name and where you live. Okay, we have no takers at this time. At the end of the meeting, we have a second executive session. This is an additional time when members of the board meet privately. We're going to meet about our collective bargaining agreements. Mrs. Spitzer is going to read the notice. And at that time, we're going to go into executive session. When we come out, action may be taken, but there's no additional business beyond the executive session on tonight's agenda. So thank you, everybody, for coming.
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-2b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in an executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms or conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reasons for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Okay, so I'm seeking a motion to move into executive session.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, I got the motion by Mr. Freda. I think we have a second.
I'll second the motion.
Mr. Higgins.
You get one or the other.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the time is 10:09. We're now going to move into executive session. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Can I see any?